Welcome to another episode of The Litter Box, a Detroit Tigers podcast with your hosts, Bill Patterson and Chet West.
Did you go to the game yesterday?
No.
You did not? You didn't end up doing it?
No.
No.
Life happened.
Life happens. Life calls. That stinks. Well, I don't really like I don't particularly love Milwaukee.
No.
It's not my favorite place to see a game. It's not my favorite place to like watch a game.
It's a terrible stadium.
I don't like the stadium. It has this like artificial look to it. It's like the game is covered in plastic.
It also looks, the way the roof is positioned, it looks like they didn't lay out the stadium correctly.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there's just a lot of weird about it. It's kind of like, I think it's Milwaukee and Tampa Bay. When I watch games in those two stadiums, it's just.
And then we could include the old Montreal stadium.
That's kind of where it all started.
Yeah.
That's where the artificial look started for me for games.
They had bad lighting in Montreal.
Yeah, bad lighting. They had like 70s
They had bad lighting in Tampa too.
But they had like phosphorus lights or something awful. It had a hue to it. Anyhow, garbage settings aside, our Tigers flailed over the past three games set in Milwaukee. Game one was great. Big win. Tons of runs scored. No complaints there. Games two and three, would rather they just didn't bother playing them based on the way they came out. Try to be careful in that we don't get too negative over a series because they hadn't lost a series in a while. But kind of was hoping for a little more on this one. Your thoughts?
It wasn't just that they lost the last two games. It's that essentially since the game two of the season in Los Angeles, they've been highly competitive in every game. And I think more so than just losing the series was that they went 15 innings without producing a run. They were shut out on Tuesday's game. And yesterday, you know, outside of a torque bomb, they did not manage to score any runs. Now, not all of it's on the Tigers per se. They did have something going early. And Jose Quintana questionably was not called for a balk when he threw over to first, and the first baseman was nowhere to be found. But the ball kind of sort of was going towards the bag, so the umpire incorrectly understood the rule and ruled it not a balk because the intent was to throw towards the bag. The Tigers would have had, you know, a man at second at that point, and then, you know, upcoming a man at first, and it could have been something going forward in the first inning, but that didn't materialize. And the bats have been very, very sluggish, to say the least. So my thoughts are the pitching's still looking really, really good. You know, let's talk about some of the positives. Montero got the start yesterday because the Tigers don't have an off day for basically 2 weeks. So AJ Hinch decided to go with a six-man rotation. And I mean, his stat line isn't going to blow you away, but he did do a lot of things really well. So Kenta Montero yesterday, 5 innings pitched, 8 hits allowed, 5 earned runs, 1 walk. That's one thing I want to keep talking about in the positive category is the Tigers just are not walking people as a staff. And as a staff, they are seeing a ton of pitches. There was a statistic yesterday. Let me finish with this byline, then I'll give you the statistic. 8 Ks, you know, his earned run doesn't look good. And then Herter came in, pitched 2 innings, walked 1, struck out 1, and then Will Vest, you know, kind of closed it out with an inning, 2 strikeouts. So, you know, the positive would be the 11 strikeouts. The issue with that is that there were some solo home runs. Christian Yelich hit one in the third. Reese Hoskins also hit one in the third with Frelick being on board, and then Frelick hit a solo home run in the sixth. So that's where your 5 runs come from yesterday. Could it have been a different outcome had the Tigers generated runs early on that balk? Maybe not a balk, potentially. The odd thing is, as lifeless as they looked the last two games at the plate, going into yesterday's game, the Tigers were either number one or number two in Major League Baseball in 3 key categories, which is pitches seen, hits, and runs generated all in the first inning. So they are doing a really good job, and I think a lot of that has to go back to Jehan, Justin Henry Molloy, just keeping the bat on his shoulder. And it's my guy, and I know you're going to be surprised to hear this, but Javi Baez is more part of the solution than he is part of the problem. He has completely changed his batting stance, where his hands are, and it shows. He was 2 for 4 yesterday. He's batting .289. He's played center field well. I mean, and he was also at third base yesterday. So, you know, I think one of the topics I wanted to talk to you about, and I guess my next question is, I'm wondering if the musical chairs throughout the field is causing some discourse or disdain with some of these players not being as comfortable as they could be, and it's carrying over to their at-bats. What are your thoughts on that?
First and foremost, some of the fielding gaffes have not been incredibly, they haven't been great to watch. It's like we field, there's a tripod, right? You've got your hitting and your offense. You've got your pitching, and then you've got your defense. When one of the legs of the tripod falls over, falls out, the whole table falls over. The fielding's been a little disgusting to watch at times. I think it was last, not this series, but the previous, Colt Keith had a play at second where there's a ground ball. They throw to second. He doesn't put his foot on the bag. They call the guy safe. He holds the ball because he can't get it over to first in time. And then the runner, inexplicably thinking he was out because it was just such an obvious he should have been out, walked off the base and Colt Keith tagged him. I was like, okay, the whole play was disgusting. Whoever was running bases, and I don't remember who, I think it was Miranda for the Twins, like just drifted off the bag thinking he was out because it was such an obvious, easy out to get. Keith couldn't put his foot on the bag. I mean, you're sitting there and you're like, God, you're a second baseman by trade. It's not like he's been gone from the position for that long. So you're looking at gross plays like that. A lot of throws from third the other night. I think it was in game two for my Banyas. Threw one off his back foot. He basically let a ground ball, a chopper play him. Threw the ball off his back foot, and it landed like 4 feet in front of first base. Torque couldn't solve it. Went through. Couldn't scoop it. And you look at that stuff, and you've got a pitcher who, you know, they get the first batter. Second batter gets up there, grounds into what should be an easy out at first or a makeable out for a Major League Baseball player at first. And he let the ball play him and then made a bad throw. And we got a guy sitting on first base and then he steals second. I mean, the whole thing just becomes a, you know, it's like the errors start to compound. You're making things difficult on your pitching. And going back over to that other leg of the tripod pitching, we didn't pitch poorly through the whole series. Yesterday, Ketter Montero, you talked a little about him. He's like Jekyll and Hyde. He was either untouchable at 8Ks, untouchable, or they were smoking balls off of him. He'd make a mistake and groove like fastballs down the pipe with no life to like Yelich and Chirio. Chirio and Yelich both hit him hard. Chirio didn't cash in on it. Yelich did. And as you said, Frelick and Hoskins did. But like he made a couple mistakes and those just happened to be home runs because they were just really bad pitches down the pipe. Or he had a series where it looked like all they were calling, and I don't know if this was Nito, the catcher, or him, just called fastballs. It was just like three straight, and then boom, pounded one out. It was almost like you predict, like, if he throws another fastball here down the heart of the plate, it's going to get smoked for a home run. So pitch selection and maybe just his execution on those things. But like I said, at times he looked untouchable. And then at times he looked like, wow, you couldn't have made the worst mistake there in the world. Part of that's being young. Part of that is being young. He's not, he's coming up doing a spot start, giving people some rest. Cause I think they got like 10 to 13 straight games or something like that. This is the longest stretch of games.
They don't have an off day in 2 weeks.
Yeah. This is the longest stretch of games that they're going to have all season long. And it's right here in April, right out of the gates. So, yeah, and the bats, there's your other leg of the tripod. When that one fails, it's really hard to win when you don't score runs. You cannot win if you don't score, and we scored one run over, like, the end of game one all the way into game two. I think it was 18 innings. Do you want some positives? Torque hit two home runs in the series, and in game two, he pounded a couple balls to the track. He hit a ball to end game two that went into the deepest, most cavernous part of that awful stadium in Milwaukee.
Yeah, he did.
Like, into a, like, notch. It would have been out if he had hit it, like, 15 feet over the left, but instead it's, like, dead center, left center, whatever. Went into the notch in the wall, like, and the guy nestled himself in there and caught it. It was ridiculous.
There were some just bad luck things, but I think when we look at it over a four-game stretch, they lost 5-1 on Sunday. And then the offense did well Monday, winning 9-1, and then one run the last two games. So I think the sample size we're talking about isn't just the last three games, and we're not ignoring Monday. It's the fact that they scored 11 runs over four games and went 1-for-3, which is appropriate when you score 11 runs over a four-game stretch.
The other thing to think about, too, is they didn't exactly go up against Cy Young here over the last three. Tyler Alexander, they absolutely blew him up in game one.
Yeah. Okay?
But like Quinn Priester, while he's having a good season so far, and he's a fairly talented pitcher, is not somebody that we should need to worry about with the lineup that we have.
And then Jose Quintana, they made him look like a Jose Quintana of 12 seasons ago.
I honestly didn't know the guy was pitching anymore. I couldn't believe he was on the bump. I was like, Jose Quintana? Wow.
He's one of five pitchers that has recorded a win against all 30 major league teams.
That's incredible. And Flaherty, you know, for his part in game two, he didn't look great. I mean, he made it into the fifth, gave up three runs. I mean, enough. He did well enough to win the game, and they should have won the game. Hanafy, kind of the hard luck guy, gave up two more runs there and then got sent down for Montero after the game.
What are your thoughts on that?
Not really, but
I don't think he deserves to go down. Just he had the options available, and they wanted to bring Montero up.
Exactly. Well, this what was really interesting is kind of an odd foreshadowing in game one. The Brewers in the first game there, they were talking about how Abner Uribe came in and basically ate a bunch of innings. I think it was when Alexander kind of started to flail, and they were praising him for eating those innings because they were saying, they're like, you know, this is one of those situations where if things get out of control early and you've got to have, and maybe it wasn't game one, maybe I'm looking at it, maybe it was game two, or yeah, it was game one.
No, it was game one because the Tigers didn't score after the fifth.
Exactly. He comes in, eats all these innings, and saves their pen. And they started talking about, or no, it was Elvin Rodriguez. Sorry, Elvin Rodriguez, not Abner Uribe. Elvin Rodriguez comes in and eats five innings and gives up one run. And basically said that, you know, this guy comes in, he eats all these innings up. You save your pen for the rest of the series. They're talking about how if he doesn't do that, then they probably have to send somebody down and bring people up to pitch if they have to blow through their pen in game one. And lo and behold, it's the Tigers that end up doing it two games later. Granted, for different reasons, but you saw it happen right there, that somebody gets the hard luck send down to the, you know, minors. And I don't know, it's
a great point. And one of the things that we probably should have illuminated more going into this series against the Brewers is that they had been decimated on their pitching staff, eight guys on the injured list. And so again, it's one of these oddities, and it's why we love the game, that the Tigers couldn't capitalize on that and just, I mean, they were very meek. So I'm really curious. We have a four-game set coming up at Comerica, the first against Kansas City, the Royals. It's going to be a 10-game homestand for the Tigers. And
don't think for a minute that the Royals and their 8-10 record aren't going to come in here looking to bust us up after we just.
Oh, absolutely. And
they're a good squad.
On the bump tonight, we've got Michael Lorenzen versus
Michael Lorenzen versus
Reese Olson.
Yeah.
So we should have a good one. Reese didn't have his best outing.
I'm looking for Reese to find it. Reese needs to find it. He's going to get there eventually. He needs to find it.
And I'm going to say this about the Royals. They are a talented squad. I agree with you. Limit the damage that Bobby Witt Jr. can do, and you limit the Royals' chances to best you in any way, shape, or form.
Another guy who's been a pest is Jonathan India. They picked him up from the Reds in the offseason, and he's been a pest likewise. Sal Perez is always somebody you got to worry about not going to come out of the park, although he's getting up there in the years. I'm looking for Carp, Torque, and Dingler to do some damage tonight against Lorenzen. I'd like to see that. Those are my picks to click. I don't know what's going on with Riley Green. You want to take a second on him?
Yeah, he went 0-for-4 yesterday.
And like 1-for-27 or something crazy.
This is the worst stretch of his professional career, and the all-star player is not appearing whatsoever to be present, and it's too small of a sample size.
Lost at the plate, which he looks lost. Part.
I mean, he's not seeing the ball whatsoever. Yeah. He's not swinging when he should be swinging, and he's flailing when he shouldn't be. So
I am hoping it's not some sort of an injury, that's some change to approach that they've instituted that isn't jiving well with him or something. But like, he had an at bat the other night that it looked like he just didn't know what was going on.
It all started, too, when the Tigers moved him to center. And for whatever weird reason, I didn't understand it because he played plenty of center in his minor league career, and he played a little bit of it when he first came up with the Tigers. But for some reason, like, he's been one of those players, he and Keith, really, that have been most affected by the musical chairs or musical positions in the field. So I think if he can just settle in at left field, maybe getting back home will help him the friendly confines of Woodward Avenue and Comerica Park.
It's still early, Bill.
But I am very concerned because, going back to the bats being quiet, this team is not deep enough right now until Matt Vierlein, Parker Meadows, if and when they come back, when Jake Rogers comes back.
It's not deep enough to pitch into wins at this point with the staff, the way it's being used and the injuries, everything else under the sun. Like, they just aren't, they're not going to pitch themselves into wins except for maybe when, like, Scooble's out there. But otherwise, you're going to have to score some runs.
Yeah, I mean, both games, 5 runs allowed. I mean, those games were there for the taking. Really beating this to death. But it deserves to be said, they didn't have good at-bats. They didn't put together threatening innings. They didn't have 2 men, you know, in scoring position and just meekly fly out. And quite frankly, the one time they did do that, Green grounded into a double play. So
there you go.
So, yeah, I mean, I just don't see, I mean, Torque's been nothing short of a revelation this year. He's leading the Tigers in, you know, the easy metrics, meaning he's got 6 home runs, which is outstanding. He's on pace for 54 this year. He also has the highest batting average, you know, .273.
He leads the team in almost every offensive metric.
Yeah, .367 on base, .621 slug, and then 13 RBIs.
It's crazy.
It's great, but the problem is we needed Keith, or we needed Torres, or we needed Green, somebody else. I mean, is it sustainable what Javi's doing? Let's hope that the change in approach leads so, but I mean, it's going to be a long season if 30 days from now you and I are talking about
I agree for that's 4 going to fade. He's giving us April right now, right? That's going to fade. He's giving us April.
And one more thing
about
Javi. The
rest of the season is TBD.
His power is gone. He's just one of those guys that aged quickly, I guess, or just before us. So going again, kind of forecasting. So Friday, we've got Cole Ragans against Jackson Job.
He's very good. Cole Ragans is one of the best pitchers in Major League Baseball.
So that's going to be a tough one. Yeah. And those are both 6:40 Eastern Standard Time starts, 5:40 for those in the Central. And then we've got a Saturday matinee, which should be fun. That's going to be a 12:10 start. Seth Lugo is going up against Casey Mize. So like you said, I think the Royals are going to come in with a lot of fight. Tigers are going to face some good pitching. And then the one that I'm really looking forward to is going to be on a 12:40 start on 4:20. And that is Michael Waka 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 against Tarek Skubal. And
I love it.
Yeah, I mean,
couldn't resist, could you?
No, you have to. You have to give a little Fozzie Bear love there. And Waka is not off to a great start this year. He's 0-3, which, you know, a lot goes into that. But a 4.35 ERA, his whip is 1.31, and he has pitched over 20 innings, 20.2. So he's been an innings eater and not a whole lot else. So that's going to be fun for us.
I think Sunday, we get a good start against Lorenzen today, and it will dictate how the rest of the series could possibly go.
The Tigers have won game one in every series, save the Dodgers series to open the year. And that game was
going into Ragans game.
Yeah. No, Ragans is, he's 1-0, 2.28 ERA. His whip is awesome, 0.93. And then he's 23.2 innings pitch. So he is certainly their ace. He is a great pitcher, to your point. And the Tigers are going to have their hands full. It's going to be a really, really, really fun 4-game series.
Yeah.
First 4-game series of the year.
We get to see Bobby Witt. Always like to see Bobby Witt play.
Oh, I mean, That'll he is great. A true 5-tool gem. So Bobby Witt Jr. is going to be fun. I have listened to a Royals podcast, and they refer to him simply as Junior. So just if we
want. Junior.
Just Junior.
Taking Ken Griffey Jr., like, is that a play on?
He's just Junior. He's not in the Griffey Jr. Category yet, but hey, they can call him whatever they want.
Griffey Jr. Junior.
But yes. Going for the rest of the week, the red hot, scorching hot San Diego Padres come in for a 3-game set Monday through Wednesday. And then it doesn't ease up.
I know. I saw this.
The next weekend series is going to be the Baltimore Orioles for 3 games. And then the Tigers leave town on Monday the 28th and travel down to Houston for the Astros. So schedule
makers.
We
get to see some great ball players coming into Comerica Park over the next week.
Yeah, Jackson Holliday is going to make a visit. Yeah. And then basically pick anybody on the Padres. And yep. I don't want to overly tease the Padres series just yet, but my biggest surprise possibly of the season, outside of what Jose Quintana did to the Tigers yesterday, just painting the corners, is the fact that Jason Hayward is playing meaningful baseball on a team that is on top of the National League West.
But he's
15
struggling.
And 4.
He's struggling, though. I just read something the other day about how one of the things they're going to have to do is figure out how to get somebody to replace Jason Hayward, because he's looking a lot more like the Cubs version of Jason Hayward and not like the Dodgers version from last year.
Going back to
2 to 3 days ago, so maybe he picked it up over the last day or two.
No, he didn't. What I'm saying is that despite the fact that he is
still
big donut hole in the lineup,
still going
15-4 and the best team in Major League Baseball. Yeah. And they just made the Cubs look a bit silly. So
yeah, they did.
And speaking of, I will get to see them. They're going to be here at the friendly confines on that same road trip where they visit Comerica. So
isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, I'll have all sorts of scouting reports for you. So that's kind of the wrap on that. There's not a ton of news and notes right now outside of, I did pick up from some of the Tigers beat writers, I'll quote Jason Beck on this, that Vierling and Meadows, the rehab is going well, and that we could be looking at Vierling coming up sooner.
Oh, good.
He is running, he is hitting, he is throwing, and right now Parker Meadows is doing the same three things. He is not throwing currently. He is just batting and running. So if we could get the center field position manned, you know, the thing we're fair to the Tigers today. I don't think we came down too hard. And the fact that they're doing it without a true center fielder anywhere on the roster is pretty amazing up to this
point. There's no reason to be too hard at this point. It's April. We're still in April. We haven't even hit May.
But I did.
Talk to me at the end of May, and I'll start getting hard on them if this is the usual the last 2 days. But it hasn't been the usual. We had a little blip.
Yeah. But when Dylan Dingler is your pinch hitter.
No.
And it was supposed to be a
not
day
ideal.
Off for him.
Not
because
ideal.
Because he had a rough day behind the plate Tuesday.
Yeah.
And because he's probably fatigued and just not used to playing this much, you know. But he's been a revelation as well. So if we can get some of the usual suspects, i.e. Green, Torres, Carpenter to start contributing more, things should be good.
Up until the last 2 games, Torres was hitting.
Yeah, yeah.
For the couple games that he had been back, he was hitting. So the last 2 games, he played a big donut. But
so
maybe he needs to get going. I like Jahan at the top. Keep Jahan at the top. Torres
same.
Number two.
Jahan shouldn't go anywhere.
Yeah, he's taking walks. He's getting on base.
Just the fact that he's seen 12 pitches every time he leads off is amazing. So the last thing I had for you is, what do we do now that we truly have 8 bona fide starters for this team? Obviously, Scoobs isn't going anywhere. Hopefully, he'll be a Tiger for his entire career. Maeda, I don't know that we could get much more than a bag of balls for him. That being said, he could be an innings eater for someone else. I think Mize, Jobe, and Olson are all, you know, long-termers, and I would like to think Montero is young enough as well. But that still leaves 3 veteran arms that I could see the Tigers moving sooner than later. And that would be Jack Flaherty. That would be Alex Cobb, who hasn't even pitched for us yet this year. So I guess that's TBD. And then Kenta Maeda. It's great to have depth, but to have 8 starting pitchers is probably a little deep and rich, given the fact that the Tigers could use another at, you know, really strong batter. So a couple names I was going to float for you is like, do you trade for a bat? And I'm not talking trade deadline. I'm talking sooner than that. Like, would the Cubs, with Justin Steele's injury, he's going to be gone for the year, so their ace is gone. Like, do you make a move for a veteran like Ian Happ, given that the the Cubs are going on a youth movement, he would also be able to play center field. Do you go with yet another second baseman like Jazz Chisholm just because the Yankees are stacked? Is there anybody that interests you maybe on the Orioles or A's who are full of young players, sometimes 2-3 deep at certain positions? So anyhow, that's what I kind of wanted to float to you today is, am I misreading how deep the starting pitching staff is?
And I think you may be. I think what you have to think about here is we haven't seen Cobb yet, so we don't know with him. Who knows when he's coming back? Has there been anything on when he's coming back? I haven't heard anything.
Nothing.
Maeda, yeah, if you can trade him. I mean, it takes two to tango. Who wants Maeda? Like, you're really looking for filler there, okay? My fear is we would have to get rid of somebody that's down in the minors, some of our young pitching strength, to trade for an outfielder, if that's what you're alluding to needing. I don't think anybody's taking Maeda for a starting center fielder. That's not happening.
I was coming back to Flaherty.
Okay. Flaherty, I don't know. I mean, I don't see him leaving this time around. I mean, he's our number two guy in our rotation right now.
He is now, but will he be come September?
Possibly. It's real. I don't see who's going to come up and take his spot. I mean, Montero, I don't know who you're going to put in his spot, to be honest, at this point in time. Matt Manning is not doing well.
He's lost in space.
Minors.
Lost in Toledo right now.
You've got a couple other guys that maybe could come up, Ty Madden type guys or people like that. I don't even know if Madden's ready to come up yet, but like, you don't have anybody to fill those spaces. So I don't know why we would be trading from the starting pitching rotation that is currently in place. Cobb, right. Maybe if he comes back, he gets some spot starts, there's a new place for him, they ship him off. I'd almost rather keep him as some insurance, so we don't need to have Keiter Montero coming up and serving up gopher balls to the other team. And I'm not saying Montero's not going to be a great pitcher at some point in time. It's obvious that he's just not quite there yet. I mean, he hit 8 strikeouts yesterday.
And 5 innings. Impressive.
He's got stuff. Just that he makes way too many mistakes. And maybe that's just one outing. Who knows? I don't want to skewer that guy.
Christian Yelich had probably his best game of the season yesterday as well.
Still a guy you can't make mistakes to.
Yeah, I mean, pre-pandemic, he was one of the best hitters in the game. Former, batting average leader, home run leader, MVP. Really quite a player. Don't know what happened to him in the pandemic. A lot of us entered it, and a lot of us entered different on the way out. And
Javier Baez was one of those guys. Yeah. I mean, Baez pre-pandemic and Baez post-pandemic were two totally different guys. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I'm ready to sit here and start thinking trades yet. Okay, there are some names that were floated around back in spring training when it was evident that we were going to need an outfielder, like Will Urabreu for the Red Sox was a name because they have a couple of outfielders. I think there were some guys out on the West Coast. I cannot remember off the top of my head who they were that we were talking about getting, but I'm not ready to talk about that yet. I want to get through April, see how things shake out in the first month of the season. See if we can get some of those guys like Vierling back and Parker Meadows back. Those guys come back and our whole entire conversation changes. And especially if they can come back and hit. Because then who are you sending down? I mean, we're not even talking about trading for anybody at that point.
Potentially. So, yeah.
We'll see. It's too early. Too early for me.
All right. Anything else for us on our midweek pod?
I have blown my stack on the last two games. This is about as hard as I'm going to get on them for this time of year. So they're all must-win games, but you're not going to win them all. You take one out of three in Milwaukee, and Milwaukee's a pretty good team right now, too. They're no pushover. Would have liked to have seen us score more runs, that's all.
Yeah.
Even in the losses. If we had taken two losses and we looked like we had life at the plate, I would have felt a lot better.
100%. So, big four-game set. We will be back with you all Sunday to give you an update on how the Tigers look against the Royals.
Maybe a little preview for the Scooble game.
Oh, that would be fun. All right. Yeah, maybe we'll do that.
Little pump-up sesh for Scoobs.
Good tease. All right.
All right.
Take care, everybody. Have a good remainder to your week.
Will do. You too.
We'll go from there. Bye.
Talk to you, bud.